In the few minutes we have, we're going to look at the beginning and the end of Psalm 139, not the middle. The middle's beautiful. I thought I talked a little bit about it with some of you not that long ago. I want to talk about the beginning to the end. And there's two things that I'd like you to walk away with. Number one, I'd like to give to you a secret to intimacy in all relationships. So it applies to any natural relationship with a friend, with a parent, with a spouse, and the relationship we all share in common, I hope. At least I'm going to address you as though you share this relationship with me, the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the secret to intimacy in any of those relationships, I hope you walk away with that one thing. And I hope that you're willing to be blown away by the Word of God. Those two things. The secret of intimacy and the willingness to be blown away by the Word of God. Now let's read the first part of Psalm 139. You were already there. Just give me a sec. All right. The chief musician, a psalm of David. We'll read the first six verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Now I suspect that most of you here today, I know I have, I'll give you an example in a moment, have added to your life a chicken feather today. Let me illustrate my chicken feather, which I added, what's that, it's a little after 9, right? About 45 minutes ago. We were arriving back at the hotel where I was going to drop off Renee and Paul wanted to change. And so we're arriving back, we're about to go up the stairs, and we've been talking about this ever so incredibly cute, or so I'm told, kitten that was over in the parking lot by the school. Anybody see that ever so incredibly cute kitten? All right, multiple ones of you did.
Orange eyes, orange fur.
Orange eyes, orange fur, okay. So there's this incredibly cute kitten, and kittens are liked in our family. And so there was pleading by two out of three members of the family that we ought to spend a little more time. But I caught a key little piece of information on the car ride from school to the hotel. And that was that this cat, this beautiful kitten, was seen with what might have been a flea collar on it. So when I was asked when we got out of the car, should we... you know, take this cat with us. I said, well, you know, it must belong to somebody because it's got that flea color on. So we couldn't. And besides that, I'm allergic to cat. That's when I realized that that was pure chicken feathers, because the real motive and purpose was I like cats. I think they're cute, they're nice and all. And I also sneeze every surface that they've crawled on that I'm on. Anytime they crawl on top of me, I sneeze, and I'm not interested in having an extra cat. Here's what I mean by chicken feather. The first one, is that a legitimate statement? Has a flea collar, maybe it belongs to somebody, oh, but maybe it ran away. But it might belong to somebody, right? So my answer is a true statement, right? But I'm hiding my real motive. So since we're going to talk about this tonight, I kind of caught myself in mid-explanation and gave the real explanation, which is, I don't want another cat in the house. Now, how many of you can honestly say that you've added at least one chicken feather at least once this weekend? Wow, some of you do amazingly well. Impressive. I don't believe you. Here's what happens in what we're afraid of, I think, in any relationship, natural relationship, and in our relationship with the Lord, is that we're afraid of what people are going to find if they pull them all off, right? So if somebody comes along and gets rid of those, they're getting closer to what I'm hiding on the inside. And it may not be. I'm not talking at the moment necessarily about hiding sin, right? But we're afraid that unless we give that image of being whatever it is, intelligent, thoughtful, kind, funny, whatever it is that we're known for, that unless we maintain that image properly, the other person's not going to like us. How many of you have ever had that thought at least? Maybe you didn't act that way. Okay. It's in there. I'll guarantee you it's in there. I want to read you again the third verse. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. You know that word compassest can mean, you know. Anyone know what, well, a bunch of you know what winnowing is. Who can tell me what winnowing is? You winnow my path. No.
Well, it says,
seriously.
It says sift in my note on the garbage bag.
Right. The sift there. Some margins will say winnow. If you look up in the BTP website, KJV was Strong's open. Float over winnow. Float over the word and you'll see the KJV was the Strong's definition, and it includes winnow in it. So it means a bunch of things. Pardon?
Is that to remove the chaff?
Yeah. So what's it mean to remove the chaff?
Get rid of the fluff.
Okay. And get rid of the fluff. If you have grain, right? So you've got the stalk or barley or wheat or whatever, and you've got the grain on the end, and you came along with the flail and you beat it, so the two got separated. They're all mixed together on the threshing floor in the old-fashioned way of doing it. So you come along with a winnowing fan and you blow away the chaff, and you're left with the grain, right? And then that's picked up and that was harvested. Now there's a whole lot better mechanical harvesters, but that's what winnowing is. It's coming along with a great big fan and fanning, and the lighter straw floats away and the heavier grain stays behind. So let's winnow the chicken feathers here. And you know, there's the little winnowing process as it goes on, and this is what we're afraid of in our personal relationships. It's still hiding pretty well back there, isn't it? Sorry about that. Not really. Slide that to the side slightly. There, should work out here. This is what we're afraid of. We're afraid of if we get rid of all those chicken feathers in our life, this is what other people are going to see. And that's not very impressive. So we make it look a lot. How many of you have seen a plucked chicken? Come on. At least sitting in the refrigerator, right? Even if you haven't plucked one. How many of you have seen a chicken running around making a lot of noise? Some of them are beautiful. I'm not saying all chickens are beautiful, but some. I've taken a bunch of pictures of chickens. I think they're beautiful, some of them. I don't know if you think they're beautiful when you have 20,000 of them talking to you at once. But we're afraid that if we let somebody know what's really inside, they're going to reject us and get rid of us, right? But what did it say in the song? Read it with the word winnow in there in verse 3. Somebody, if you can figure out a verb tense that works with the word winnow. In verse 3, what would it read? Somebody will help me out with that.
Thou winnowest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways.
So thou winnowest. Okay. Oops. There we go.
How does the Lord do that?
How does He winnow our path and our lying down? Okay, I'll give you another example then. This is from this afternoon in the open meeting. I'm not going to go through all the detail, but each of the two speakers, thank you, Lemoyne, used one little example of something, and I recognized that it was the Lord's winnowing. The last couple days of the past week, there were some thoughts in my mind that were going in the wrong direction. Basically, before you begin to imagine what thoughts were in my mind, the thoughts going in the wrong direction were this idea that we have to strive and work harder, and kind of maybe getting Satan's power looking a little too big and strong in our day, and not counting enough on and a recognition of enough of the power of the Spirit of God and the love of the Lord Jesus to keep us despite Satan's power. And I wasn't conscious of those things. They weren't consciously in my head. But I was having a conversation with Lucas and others at lunch, and there was the first little piece of it, and then in the open meeting there were two more. And finally, oh, it was like a breath of fresh air from the Word of God, driving out some of those thoughts that I didn't know were sneaking in. There's one way that we get our path winnowed. The breath of the Word of God driving out an idea that's sneaking in where it doesn't belong. What's another way? Am I the only one here that said no? I'm not. You've all been winnowed in one way or another, but maybe you haven't thought about it. Maybe this will help you to begin to think about it. The Lord uses other things. He uses the circumstances in our life. And He uses difficulty sometimes. He uses other people sometimes. He brings along things that are getting rid of those chicken feathers that we didn't know were building up and hiding what He wants to produce. So if I were to take this little pile here, and I were to take the Word of God again and winnow, and I'll do it a little quicker this time. This time I've got something else under there. There we go. What's left behind this time?
A ring.
My wedding ring. There's a beautiful thing that the Lord is exposing in your life if you allow Him to do that work. Who's talking in this song? Who's the author? The Spirit of God, right? But it's David. So at the top of the psalm, David had a lot in his life that needed removing. And he's saying to the Lord here, let's look at it again. First verse, Thou hast searched me and known me. You can say with words, but it's a whole other thing to say with the experience of a life. The Lord has been through everything in my life with a fine-tooth comb, and He knows exactly what's in there. There's nothing that should be covered up between my heart and His. And He's already done it. It's past tense. Thou hast searched. It's over. It's done. He's done with it. And in fact, if you look down at verse 5, way of understanding verse 5 is, Thou hast beset me behind and before. That means He's been through my complete past, and He's been through my complete future. Been through the whole thing. Front and back, past and future, and what's the conclusion? Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That is, I'm perfectly, absolutely, sorry about that, totally known by the Son of God. And what He wants to expose by getting rid of that stuff in our lives is the beauty of that relationship that He wants with you and with me. And I'll tell you, in your, say, in the marriage relationship, all those little things where you're hiding something on the inside, or you're hiding some feelings, or they're going to get in the way of building a deep, personal, intimate relationship. With a friend, with another person, if you allow things to come in between and you're hiding what's really going on inside your own heart, I'm not saying if you get mad at somebody, let them have it, because you shouldn't hide anything. What I am saying is that we're keeping secrets from the other person. And we're hiding it maybe because we fear the rejection of the other person. You know, in a human relationship, you will experience some rejection. Somebody may discover what's underneath the feathers and not be too impressed. It'll never happen in your relationship with the Lord. It may happen even with a husband and wife, but it's never a good thing. It's never a solid foundation to build on hiding what's on the inside. And so David speaks of being searched. Now the last two verses, it's the beautiful verses that come in between, but the last two say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. There's the present tense. So, we're already 100% known, so why pray, search me? I've already been searched, past and future. Why pray, search me? Anybody have a thought on that?
For what we're doing in the present?
Sure. It's good for the present. It's absolutely applicable to the present. I think it shows, too, David's attitude. He's not only saying, "You know what's going on, I sure wish you didn't." He's saying, "You know what's going on, and I'm delighted. Keep on doing it." Right? And in a deep, intimate, personal relationship, if the degree to which the other person knows you and knows you well, then you say, "I want it to stay that way." So there's a lot of practical applications of this, but I'm going to give you one and only one. It's a very small thing. Sometime in the middle of this past week, I got a phone call, and I don't know how to tell this without giving you the wrong ideas, but in our family, we are all logged into the same Google account, right? So there's one common internet history. And somebody was suspicious that somebody was using our account, not for inappropriate pages, but yeah, they were, shouldn't have been, and so they were. So I got a call in the middle of the afternoon saying, "Were you on such and such a site at such and such a time looking at such and such things?" Yep, that was me. I was doing the cover of the Christian magazine, and that's why I was doing such and such and such and such a site. Oh, okay. But how did my wife know? Because we had one common shared account. Now, there's a lot of ways of cheating in that area. A lot of ways of covering your tracks. There's a lot of ways of piling up feathers. But the degree to which you have a common, open, complete access to the other person's internet information in a marriage, the degree to which you're going to avoid all kinds of potential problems. That's one tiny application of being completely open without feathers. Most of you aren't married. Most of you don't share an account in that way. And you can take the principle and you can apply it, though, in your screen life. You can take it and you can apply it in your personal life. But take it and make sure that there is nothing that comes in between you and the Lord that tries to cover up and hide. God's purpose in searching you and searching me is to bring out the beauty of the relationship that He wants.